My name's Sean Collier, and returning to... I just stumbled on my own name. Did you hear that?
It's not a good sign,
That's
is it?
Not a good start to the show. Sean Collier, I should know that. Returning to the podcast, Kurt Wooten's back, everybody.
Hey, thanks for having me back
thanks
on the cast.
Thanks for coming
it's
on.
It's a pleasure to be here.
We're always happy to have you. We heard that you were the biggest Predator fan in town.
Absolutely, The 1987 Schwarzenegger classic, you can't go wrong. I mean, what's not to like?
And then there's been some other movies since then.
There's been some questionable sequels in the Predator franchise, but hey, you gotta. We're going to give it another shot here tonight.
And this certainly is another one. That you can't deny that. It's The Predator. Not Predator. Not Predator 6.
Well, it's not...
The Predator.
The Predator. There's... Predator, the original Predators, the Robert
right.
Rodriguez one, and then there's the Alien vs. Predator and their franchise, and there's Predator 2.
We will tell you specifically about The Predator this week on You Can't Handle the Truth. It is You Can Handle the Truth for Friday, September 14th, 2018. I know, we took a couple weeks off there. Three things. I moved, which is
always stressful.
Big to-do.
Yeah, it's
you
one
know.
Of the most stressful things one can go through in life, according to magazines.
I always hate it, but like it still always surprises me how much I hate it.
Yeah, but you know, once you get... through it, and you start to get into your routine. It feels good, and you're usually glad you did it.
Oh, no, I'm glad I did it. We love the place, love the neighborhood, very happy. It's just, you know, if I hate all of my belongings and I never want to see a box again.
Well, that's when you go, I mean, it's great when you move because then you can purge a lot of the stuff you really don't need and go buy new stuff.
Oh, I've thrown away many, many things.
That's good. It's always good.
I'm stopping at Goodwill daily, just like, here's another bag. But you know what I kept was a little Predator about half an inch tall.
A little Predator figure there?
Little tiny Predator.
Yeah, it's good for tonight.
That happened. I did start rehearsals. On Hollow Moon, tickets on sale next week. Visit VigilanceTheater.com. And this was not a good movie month at all. A couple of times people have been like, what should I go see? And I said, I don't know.
I mean September or just the
August was a little weak.
I told you before we went to the screening here this evening, I haven't seen a movie since May in the theater. This summer was kind of a dry spell for me.
What
for the first time in my career of watching films since I was a kid.
This was not... We've had some big summers.
Right.
We've had some big summers recently where there were like 10, 12 must-see movies. And this...
There was summers in the past. I've gone at least once a week, twice a week. This was, you know, maybe we're just getting a little stale here. I don't know.
What'd you see in May?
Was the last movie I saw was Solo.
Okay.
I am a Star Wars type of guy. Yeah, it is what it is.
You know, I liked it more the second time I saw it. Like, once I had already been a little disappointed by it, I could more enjoy it for what it was.
It was just so hard for me to get over the not being Harrison Ford. And being one of the biggest Harrison Ford fans on the planet, it was... I tried to detach myself and let this, you know, the actor, you know, give his moment. But, whatever.
Yeah.
It's another Star Wars movie.
I'm glad that they turned away from... Wasn't it before this there was like a Boba Fett movie coming?
Well, you know,
an Obi-Wan
honestly,
movie coming,
they're not going to do the. I heard there was going to be an Obi-Wan
and
a Boba Fett movie, and now because the numbers on this weren't as well as they expected, they're not going to do the Boba Fett movie. And I, for one, was excited for the Boba Fett movie because I know a lot of people say, well, he has no character, he doesn't really do anything, he has seconds of screen time in the franchise. But I'm a Boba Fett nerd, and I was really looking forward to it. And it was had a good director attached, and so
that might have been cool. I thought even going into Solo, I thought you know you made all this money by not doing what you did with the prequels, and instead introducing new characters, and that's what really made a lot of money. So why are we feeling so... Solo felt really prequel-y to me. And even... Now, I guess we could spoil it now. I'm thinking, man, this feels like a prequel. And then 2 hours later, Darth Maul shows up. And so I'm like, yeah, yes, exactly.
You know, Darth Maul got cut in half in episode one. Spoiler alert. I don't know how he was at the end of Solo. That's ridiculous. So there's a Sith Lord that's been there the whole time, and no one... He was a Sith. Apparently, he would have, and he, so he goes undetected. I don't even get it. So.
Someone, I read somewhere that this was explained in the Clone Wars cartoon series.
I didn't watch all the Clone Wars, but I don't know.
Yeah,
it seems a little far fetched. I love Darth Maul, but I just assumed he was in Split in Two and rent down that shaft at the end.
Yeah, that would seem to do it. They're not. Who's coming back? Darth Vader's coming back in the next one. It's a thing. He lived in a little pod.
Everyone's coming back. They're resurrecting Carrie Fisher in the next one. So nothing's off the table.
Yeah. Well, you said you were pumped. We're just delaying talking about Predator because there's only so much to see. Say a little preview. You're pumped for Halloween. You said
absolutely.
Speaking of characters that died once. But we're waving that off.
You can just, and they've just totally dismissed the other sequels, including part two, and it's just going to be a direct sequel to the original. And I for one, am excited because Jamie Lee Curtis is coming back again, even though she had died in part eight. They killed her off, but we're going to bring her back. Nothing matters anymore. Just do whatever movie you want to do and have fun doing it, and we'll see Michael do his thing. And
I mean, Michael's died a handful of times.
Yeah, he's died. He's gotten his head chopped off, or it really wasn't him, and you know, and he's died in the Rob Zombie awful sequels, and I don't. We'll see how this one.
I think between now and the last time we recorded, I went and I saw Rob Zombie because as much as I am not a fan of him as a director, I'm a fan of him as a rock and roller.
His music is awesome.
Yeah,
his music is like some of the. I mean, you could just sit there and it'll pump you up. It's great.
Oh yeah,
Hellbilly Deluxe. That was my. Yeah. That was my 1999. I think so.
Yeah, I've seen him a number of times, and it's always a great show. I highly recommend it. And we were way back in the this is at Star Lake, which that's it's really nice that we just started calling it Star Lake again. Like
is it called Star Lake again?
No, we just all like
that's fine. I mean, I've never not called it Star Lake.
I think on the fourth name change, people stopped trying. It's Star Lake. We were way back in the pavilion, but his guitarist did like a long, like 5 minute long solo, and during that, he just kind of took a lap, and completely arbitrarily, he walked down my row. Just to kind of cross, which is really like that's like Santa Claus coming up to you. That's not like you know if the guy from Counting Crows walked up to you, you'd be like, oh okay. But if Rob Zombie walks up to you, that's a little.
It's more of an experience, more of a show.
And I'm glad that my instinct in that moment was just to kind of you know pat him on the back and move aside and not say you fucked up Halloween. That's not what we needed.
You know, there's, and I get it. Rob Zombie's got a huge following, a huge fan base. And, but man, every time I always say the same thing. Every time I watch one of his movies, I feel like I need to go to church afterwards. They're just a little bit. And I love horror, and his cross lines for me. And even starting with House of a Thousand Corpses, I'm like, should I be watching this? My mom would not approve me watching this.
No. I stopped eventually. I don't think I've seen all of them.
Yeah, I stopped
because
too.
Because I know what you're doing. There's going to be some kind of backwoods weirdos.
Yeah, and they're going to torture innocent people, and it's just it's going to be weird and
but not
make you
feel
gross.
Not in that tacky like Motel Hell way.
Seriously. Yeah. Oh, if you like what was the one Devil's Rejects. I'm like, whoa, this is intense, man. I don't think I could, and I'm not going to cheer for these awful people in this movie. If you're trying to make me side with the awful people, it's not working.
But I'm glad Halloween's happening.
Yes.
As a horror fan,
Danny McBride is writing it too. So
I generally just think there should be a Halloween, a Friday the 13th, or a Nightmare on Elm Street every year.
Why not?
Just keep and there hasn't been either of those other ones in a while.
Yeah, there was rumors of a Friday the 13th, another installment, but those stalled out and never took form. And I imagine it will happen, and imagine we'll get another. Nightmare on Elm Street. Hopefully with Robert Englund again because he's Freddy Krueger.
He's still around,
and he's got the energy. And all, I mean, it doesn't matter how old he looks now because you just torch him up anyway.
Well, you know that's there's a transition because I came into the Predator thinking about the Nightmare on Elm Street remake because the Nightmare on Elm Street remake I couldn't going into it there was nothing obviously wrong. I liked their. I thought Jackie Earle Haley was a good choice.
He's a good actor.
If you're gonna recast it, that was a fine choice. The direct. I forget who directed it, but it was solid. Everything we saw, there's nothing wrong with it. But I just walked in feeling like I don't know if this is gonna add up, because Nightmare on Elm Street was one of my favorites in high school.
Oh, I love the original. I love the cheesy sequels too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love them.
And I think that might be kind of how you walked into this, because you talked. I mean, you told me, but tell the listeners.
Oh,
you're very close with the Predator franchise.
I mean, since Predator was just in my household, it was a very distinct memory. It was one. I remember it came on VHS. We didn't see it in the theater. My dad and I. Sitting in our living room, and just he wouldn't let me watch the beginning because he was feeling it out. He let me come in the first time I watched it at the end, whenever Arnold has his showdown with the Predator. And I mean, after that, of course, I watched the whole thing. But man, just being in love with that really got me into Schwarzenegger. That was my first Schwarzenegger movie, so it is my favorite Schwarzenegger movie. I know a lot of people will give you Terminator 2, but man, ever since everything about that movie, every time I watch it, it just gets better and better. So,
well, this is one of those, and we talked about this a lot. There's a lot of, especially 80s movies. I mean, everything I watch is new. So there's a lot of things that you would expect that I had seen, you know, that I haven't. And I only saw Predator maybe a year or two ago, something like that, where I was at Aaron Kleiber's house, and we were getting ready to watch something, you know, kind of uninteresting for the podcast. And I mentioned that I hadn't seen Predator.
And he immediately put it on.
He just canceled the plans, and we did the Predator episode. And a lot of, you know, I go back to movies that other people grew up with, and sometimes I'm like, that's great. I see why you love it so much. Sometimes it's like, oh, I think I had to be there as a child. Predator was a case where I was like, this is awesome. This is exactly what it needed to be.
For the time, it was the style of film, especially for the 1987, you were getting those like Lethal Weapon and RoboCop, really ultra violent movies, and it just hit home. And it's the greatest thing about Predator is it's pretty simple. It's not overcomplicated. Mm-hmm. It's a builder. You don't even see the Predator really until the end of the movie. So you don't know much about what's killing these guys. This amazing team of commandos. So. Mm-hmm. That's really what sells Predator for me is you don't know what's killing these guys until the end, and ever since the sequels come along, we as an audience know more than the people in the movie about the Predators, so it's kind of is not as fun.
Yeah,
but this one was, you know, it wasn't as bad as Robert Rodriguez's Predators, and I absolutely despise.
2010? I didn't see that. Adrian Brody, I did not see that one.
The Alien versus Predators are just terrible.
So I've seen the original. I liked it a lot. I know I saw one Alien versus Predator and just kind of whatever.
Yeah, they're just whatever kind of movies. And, you know, teaming up with the Predators, that's not really cool to me. So
let's get to it then. How do you feel walking out of The Predator?
The first things, if you guys at home don't know, it's directed, written by Fred Deckard and Shane Black. Shane Black is a local Pittsburgher.
That's right.
He directed Iron Man 3, wrote Lethal Weapon, wrote one of my favorite movies, The Last Boy Scout. So, you know, you got to be pulling for it right away. And also, Shane Black is in the original Predator. He plays Hawkins, one of the commandos, wears the glasses, the first one to get killed.
And it's interesting because he has, you know, there are kind of two phases to his career as a writer. Mm. One is, you know, these classics in the 80s, Lethal Weapon and Last Boy Scout, into the 90s, Last Action Hero and Monster Squad all the Lethal Weapon movies. And then he came back with this big kind of respected filmmaker with Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and Iron Man 3. And we really liked The Nice Guys as well. So an interesting guy and very appropriate choice to do this.
So, I mean, right off the bat, you got to be cheering for it. And I will say, I mean, it has a little bit of the original Predator vibe to it with the misfit type of mercenary type crew.
Yeah.
Where everyone's has a defined, the guys in the crew that, you know, eventually go hunting for the Predator, they're pretty defined, fun character types.
Yeah.
And I think you need that. And this movie, right off the bat, doesn't take itself too serious. And at this point, it's mostly ridiculous.
Yeah.
And at this point in the series, I think you have to have that. It's almost like watching Jason X. It's absolutely ridiculous. So
I'd rather they went in this direction than make it
the serious. Like Predators,
the
Robert Rodriguez Predators was kind of on the more serious side. But if you go in there thinking, hey, we're just going to go watch the Predator kill a bunch of people and have some, body humor from a group of dudes who are, like prison or, mentally unstable, then you'll have a good time.
Yeah. I'm halfway there with you. There's a weird thing about critic screenings where the guy who's there to check in the members of the press has to come up to you and say, what'd you think? Like he's got to report back, and the guy Tony, who I've known for a long time, came up to me and said, what'd you think? And I said, this was less than the sum of its parts. There was really nothing I didn't like. I liked, having that crew of misfits fighting. I liked, I don't know if I can spoil it. I liked what the Predator was doing on Earth in this case. I even liked, there's a kid, a lot of Shane Black movies have that sidekick, little boy that's there.
Kid with a special talent.
Right. I even kind of like that, especially because it's Jacob Tremblay, who was in Room, and is just really, really good at this.
Yeah, okay.
He was in Wonder, too. I didn't really like Wonder, but he was good in that as well. Really talented little guy. I liked all of that, and in the end, I was just kind of like, it happened.
It kind of starts out strong, but then there's too many moving parts to
lot.
I'm like, whoa, how did they get to this point? And why it's kind of surreal. The transitions and how they get to certain scenes in the movie. I'm like, this is okay. This is just accepted here.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to spoil it, but, one thing I'll say, the lead actor, do you know what is his name?
I'll give the point and I'll give his name.
The point is he's just, kind of like, and I always
Boyd Holbrook.
I don't really know who he is, but he wasn't. And once again, I'm probably being unfair because original Predator is Schwarzenegger. Even Predator 2 is Danny Glover.
Yeah.
So you got a lot to live up to. And this guy just kind of like, just this stock kind of hero guy that didn't really make an impression on me.
Yeah.
But the other guys in his crew are pretty, memorable.
Yeah. Keegan-Michael Key
it was good to see him in a role like this because, he was, played obviously funny guy, but this is more of a,
Trevante Rhodes, who people might know from Moonlight.
That's who that is.
Thomas Jane is one of them.
Thomas Jane. Look, I didn't really recognize him. I'm like, he's gotten old, but that's.
And Olivia Munn is kind of like the number two protagonist. She's the scientist that gets lumped
right.
in. She easily outshines Boyd Holbrook just because she's a little bit more of a charismatic performer.
Right.
It does do that thing I hate where it's like, this is not a marine biologist, like an evolutionary biologist.
Probably knows way too much about aliens.
I'm willing to go that far. I'm willing to be like, she's the alien expert. Fine. But then
she figures things out pretty quickly about what's going on. I'm like, I guess we have to.
Oh, there's a million moments of that. Where Sterling K. Brown walks up and say, I know why they're here. How? What did you? It's not a crossword. Like you were just like, I think what's going on here is.
I guess when you're writing a script, you just have to have those moments. Otherwise, you can't progress the plot in terms of because these aliens don't talk. We don't. Yeah. We have a couple scenes where they're communicating with each other,
right.
and there's subtitles. But for the most part, everything that happens to them has to be explained via exposition because of the characters. So they just figure it out. And there's clues, but I'm like, maybe that's a little too out of your league.
No, the thing that bothered me with Olivia Munn is like, she is definitely a scientist and developed military combat training very, very quickly.
Right, and understanding how weapons work and just grabbing a weapon and going for it. But then once again, it's the sixth Predator movie, so I guess it has to happen. But one of the other complaints with the movie is the more we get into these Predator movies, the more they just have to reveal and how the Predators are progressing. The first one, the first one, he's going to Earth to hunt.
Yeah.
In the jungle because it's hot and he uses heat vision.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's by all this, you, by that's this one, all you need.
Just hold on to your seats here with this one, why they're here. I'm not going to give it away, but it's a little bonkers. And I guess that's just where the plot evolves for the sixth movie. But even the weaponry is off the charts. It's been 30 years since the first Predator. Holy jeez, I can't even believe it's been that long.
Yeah, it's 31.
A lot's happened. The Predators are evolving, and they're really I don't want to give anything away, but you'll see.
I didn't know the Predator needed to be woke. That's what we'll say.
Wow, it's I guess it just has to get to this point.
The thing that bothered me there was, here's what I didn't need to see. I'll spoil the first scene, because the first scene has the Predator on his ship running around like Chewbacca. And I was like, no, I never needed to see that. This went off the rails faster than just about any other movie, because we started in space, and I was like, nope. Don't care.
Well, the only time you see the space in the original is when the ship drops him off. Yeah. That's it. This one, it's a firefight right at the beginning, almost like it's out of a Star Wars movie. I guess they're coming through a wormhole.
Yeah, I didn't know there were wormholes.
I don't know if there's. Yeah, they get through. I'm like, why are they doing that? And then, it's a big chase scene at the beginning to see why the Predator's coming to Earth. But it's insane. Yeah. That's all I could say.
At this point, it's just like, just have one of them show up in the next Avengers movie. Like, look, I'm sure Disney owns this too. Just start looping them in.
And that's the thing. It's just such a... Stan Winston's Predator is just one of the most epic, iconic villains ever to grace the screen. And when you... it's right nowadays, it's a lot of CGI. Yeah. But man, it's still cool to see it.
Yes.
He could do a lot more with CGI. It's just sometimes, in films, especially old films, less is better.
There was that... I don't understand this. I read something, not to beat up on George Lucas and his love of CGI yet again, but he was on the set for, I think, The Last Jedi. And
where he should never be, because that'll just break his heart.
Yeah. And they were building stuff, right? They were building, facades, and they were building some sets. And he said, why are you doing this? And he said, well, this is where we're shooting. And he said, but you can do all that on a computer now. Like, how does a filmmaker that skilled not notice that it's even in 2018, it doesn't look right.
Yeah, you've seen some of the scenes from like Attack of the Clones. Whenever there's no graphics on the screen, it's just an actor running around on green screen.
Yeah,
how little there is to work with. So it looks, especially then, it looks a little ridiculous now. But
I don't know. Maybe it's me because I'm in the theater so often, but I still feel like I can identify CGI versus reality 9 times out of 10, you know? There's one point in this movie, Trevante Rhodes puts out a cigarette on his tongue.
And you can tell.
And I was like, there were CGI sparks coming off his tongue.
And it's weird, some of the... this movie's not for the kids. There's a lot
definitely
of, it's
not.
Ultra-violent.
I did like that. I was glad they didn't go PG-13 with it.
And it's... I don't know if I'm desensitized to it, but the CGI violence...
Yeah.
A lot of like the times when guy will get an arm cut off, it's just you can tell it's just CGI.
Yeah.
Whereas when in the first one, when Carl Weathers gets his arm cut off, you feel that, man.
Yeah.
And like you just kind of get after like the 60th guy that gets wiped out by this thing, you're like, there's not much you can do anymore.
I always go back to The Thing. Where it's
some of those practical effects in the 1982 Thing or
that, yeah, exactly. That's wow. They still
make your bones chill.
I always think of when they're hitting him they're hitting him with a defibrillator and his chest opens up and then chops the guy's hands. That it looks like a cake, it's clearly like, oh, there's clay there, but because it's a practical effect, it hits me more than a head getting chopped off in CGI.
Yeah. And you'll see a lot of that the CGI violence, and it kind of desensitizes you. But then again, maybe all the violence I've seen in movies desensitized me.
I mean, this is more, you don't want to say slapstick, but it is more like someone like punchline violence in this, right?
Right.
Like,
I mean, there's not. I wouldn't say there's one serious moment. No. There's a lot of one-liners.
Yeah.
A lot of this. This movie is trying to be. Yeah. The first Predator is just is very oozing with machismo. This one tries to do that, and it's, you know, it's
that doesn't. Some
of the characters' lines are funny. I mean, there's in the behind us, man. Some people were cracking up beyond belief. So
there's this one guy. He's at a lot of screenings, and he has a laugh that could shatter glass.
Well, he was going off on some scenes.
Yeah. So and the more basic, like if there's like just a joke about butts, that's really what'll get him going.
No, I don't think it was a joke about butts. There's a lot of female genitalia jokes. But
yeah, he was amused by those. They set poor Keegan-Michael Key up for failure because they literally say as soon as he made, this is the guy that tells jokes.
Well, that's what Shane Black's character did in the original Predator. He was the joke teller.
Right.
So I mean, that was obviously a nod to.
But that,
to
but then
him.
It's like if you're introducing as, hey, this guy's going to make you laugh. It's
right.
Like,
you don't need
to
do that. I think his performance could speak for itself.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Once again, it's just introducing every you're all of a sudden on this bus and you have to introduce what six different guys as fast as you can and give them character moments.
Yeah.
Well, like one Thomas Jane had Tourette's.
Right.
So he swears, and Keegan-Michael Key was the funny guy. The one guy was smoked the cigarettes and was kind of badass and
Then
I don't know. You'll see. Watch it.
I mean, if you want to see a Predator movie, this counts.
Yeah,
that's what I could say. Like the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, like the Friday the 13th that was made about 10 years ago. Like, if you like the character and
if you
franchise,
just want to see the Predator in action, and then he does some. I mean, some scenes are fun, and for instance, there's a scene where the Predator he's in the lab at the beginning, and that's the best fighting Predator of the whole movie.
That was fun. I didn't like the forcing Olivia Munn to be naked for no goddamn reason.
Well, I mean, I was like, are they going to show her naked? No, they can't. But that was important because Predator doesn't kill you unless you have a weapon. He won't fight you. So that was always the
That's how they learned that in this movie.
Yeah.
I mean,
you didn't
have like the nerd doctor be naked.
Right,
I'm just saying.
Of course.
I'm just saying.
Well, if you've seen the trailer, there are in fact multiple Predators in this movie.
Yeah.
So that's not a spoiler. And
yeah.
I for one liked the way the first Predator looked because then there's like that.
It's more classic.
You've seen the big Predator in the trailer, so that's not even a spoiler.
Yeah.
I like the original Predator.
If you want to, I hate how often reviews come back to this, but it is. If you want to go.
I mean, it's you know, honestly, if you're a fan of the Predator and you're going to have some friends, you're going to go want to see a popcorn movie.
Yeah,
by all means, see it. It's fun. It's for the. I mean, it's meant to be seen on the big screen. It's got a lot of action and what the heck? What else is out there right now? What are you going to do?
Yeah, it's. I feel
it's either that or a high school football game on Friday. What are you going to do?
I feel like I should do the lightning round just because we haven't had an episode in a while, but I honestly haven't seen a lot just because it was a really slow August at the movie theater. I didn't see The Nun. I'd like to catch up to it.
That's a Conjuring series, right?
Yeah,
I do like the Conjuring movies.
The Conjuring, they're doing fine. Like every now and then they'll be great, not great. Every now and then they'll be very good. They're always at least watchable.
Right.
I never really leave
a horror film these days. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's great. I go and I'm like, that was fun.
Well, that was Hereditary for me. It was,
is that any good?
Really good?
It looked too spooky for me.
It is very.
The older I get, I don't want to have nightmares about like ghosts and stuff. And
you want a fun time.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting old. But.
Crazy Rich Asians is a really good date movie. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's a masterpiece, but I enjoyed it. I went with my girlfriend. It was fine. I mean, if you're just looking for that, we're going to go out to dinner and go to a movie. You know, that's fine. Peppermint was awful with Jennifer Garner. Really, really bad.
That is the revenge film?
Yeah, it's John Wick with the lady.
I've always been a fan of revenge films. Have you ever seen Death Sentence from James Wan? That's a really good one. Kevin Bacon.
Is that a good one? Well, rent that instead of watching Peppermint.
I didn't even see. I missed the Death Wish movie with Bruce Willis. That's another revenge movie. I like revenge movies, so I'll probably check it out.
It's all the best thing I could say for it is, it is by the book a revenge movie. It is, you know,
as cookie cutter as you can get. And
unfortunately, it's a little bit even if you're not very sensitive to such things, it's a little bit anti Mexican. It's a little bit...
Is she running around killing Mexicans for no reason?
Absolutely. Beginning to end.
Or are they part of the clique that did something to her family?
Some of them are, and but eventually she just starts going.
So she kills innocent people?
If you're close to the crime, that counts for her.
Oh, well.
Yeah, it's a little rough. I keep saying you can go see The Meg if you're drunk.
I've been wanting to see that. It's such a goofy shark movie. Why not?
Yeah, it's exactly right. Don't start thinking, but why would they go over there? No, don't do that. But it's Sharknado.
I'm always for a shark movie. I mean, no doubt.
It's it's a slow time. And a lot of the stuff that is good or supposed to be good, I didn't see. I haven't seen Searching yet, which I know people liked. I haven't seen Operation Finale. I haven't seen Juliet Naked. Man, Happy Time Murders was bad.
The puppet movie?
Yeah, real bad.
Boy, I don't know when they're... I don't know about old Melissa McCarthy. She's not having too many hits anymore.
No. I think that she is a little bit too... She just works a little bit too much. You got to start. I mean, look what happened to Will Ferrell when that batting
average
started
going down.
Yeah,
all of a sudden it started to tail off, and you got movies like Get Hard, and I'm like, I'm kind of over it.
It's like we know you got the money. Just be a little bit more selective.
For me, I understand because I wouldn't be passing up checks like that.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'd be like, maybe I should just make as much money as I can in case nothing else pans out. Right. But at the same time, I don't know. Even the Red Band trailer, I'm like, this is a little... juvenile for me.
It's exactly what you think, which is like if you think a puppet talking about blowjobs is hilarious, then you're going to be fine. If you're an adult and you don't think that's the whole joke. Yeah. It's not like it's funny anyway. It's just
I'd rather watch
swearing.
An authentic Muppet movie then because there's a lot to choose from.
What did I just rewatched? I want to say it was The Great Muppet Caper.
That is my favorite Muppet movie.
Yeah, that was very good.
Just my favorite. I mean, a lot of people will tell you different, but...
That scene with John Cleese is perfect.
Is that the one where he's where he's in the...
He and his wife first, are in the
dinner,
house.
And Miss Piggy convinces Kermit that...
Yeah,
you know, like,
that she lives there.
Yeah, that's hysterical.
That's a perfect comedy scene. You could take the Muppets out of it, and it's a perfect comedy scene.
And that's the thing about Muppet movies. The comedy is... authentic and it's
absolutely.
and it's funny and I don't to this day it still makes me laugh.
Well, so that's how we'll conclude. Watch Predator if you want. Definitely watch the Muppet films.
And go back and watch the original Predator because it's pretty awesome. You can't beat that cast.
Ain't got time to bleed.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Jesse, I mean two governors in that movie.
That's an excellent
governors.
Point.
And one that he played Billy, I think, was running for governor or mayor. Yeah. And he's since passed. But here's another fun fact about the original Predator.
Yeah.
My mother went to high school with the guy who was in the Predator costume, Mr. Kevin Peter Hall.
How about that?
Who's long since passed away. But he was also Harry from Harry and the Hendersons, a big, tall actor in Hollywood. She said he was a really nice guy. Went to Penn Hills High School with her. Graduated the same year.
Loaded high school class at Penn Hills.
Oh, my goodness.
Not bad. Kurt, what should people watch out for in your world? What are you working on?
You know what? If you guys are fans of right now, we're knee-deep in our Pittsburgh Steelers, Pittsburgh Dad season. So if you want to see some goofy recaps of Steeler games, please subscribe to our YouTube channel, Pittsburgh Dad.
I said a couple of times, and people know this, I'm not the biggest football fan. There have been stretches where I kept up with what was going on with the Steelers by watching Pittsburgh Dad.
Some of those games you don't want to watch. You just want to – because they're brutally hard to watch and make you upset and get your heart pumping and get you angry. So, you know what? Maybe it is better just to watch our reviews.
If Pittsburgh Dad is in a good mood, then I know things went well.
Yeah, well, this week versus the Browns, when they tied, not mood good, not so much.
Tie, like, it's just hilarious.
Tie in sports. There's no tie in any other sport, is there?
Well, all the other kinds of football.
Soccer. That's right, soccer. They just keep adding minutes to it.
Yeah, that's I like that.
So you can add in 5 more minutes? Okay.
Oh, I love that. But you know why? Because that means the entire half, there's no commercials.
Oh, my gosh.
You don't, but yeah, if you have to pee, that's a problem.
I've been at baseball games that lasted 22 innings, and then I was fine with that because we had a winner at the end, and you endured.
That's true.
So I just want an ending. I'd want, like anything else, like a TV show, like that just keeps going on and on. You can end something. I have to see an ending. I have to have closure.
And that's the ending of this podcast.
Thank you.